Today, we celebrate the life of Dorothy Walker, who brings important wisdom like nothing catches an eye like a mirror, and always throw away the parentheticals. Yes, the Jessica Jones After Show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome to the Jessica Jones After Show. That's right, the Jessica Jones After Show. Nobody else is talking about Jessica Jones. Actually, a lot of people are talking about it, but we're dedicated to finishing the season. I'm Christian Blatt, joined as often by Adam Gertler.
Hello.
Thanks to Z Anderson for sitting in yesterday for episodes 9 and 10. And unfortunately, our friend April won't be able to join us the rest of the season, but we're thinking of her. And make sure you follow her on Twitter and tell her that you missed her on the show. I believe it's April 13 dawn, and if I'm wrong, sorry, April. Anyway, so much to talk about. This season as a whole, which we'll sum up in our next episode. By the way, 1 hour from now, we're going to talk about episode 13. So be ready to spend some time with us.
So, yeah. So within within 2 hours, yeah, we're going to wrap this up.
We're going to wrap it all up. But one of the best things about this season, and we're only talking about episodes 11 and 12 right now, is just how much Trish we got this season. And we'll talk about her arc as a whole. But as we see her at the beginning of episode 11, she's really starting to go down a really dark path. And I mean, we had two great episodes so far this season. We had 2 and 11, which mm-hmm. were really Trish heavy episodes. Talk a little bit about Trish as we see her in this episode.
This is one of those great departure episodes that you only get on the Marvel Netflix shows. This particular format has allowed just about every one of these shows will do that thing where we're going to depart and do a flashback episode or focus on a side character.
Right. A great example, Daredevil season 3, we had the all Karen Page episode.
Right. You know?
And
exactly.
So once these seasons have gone on long enough, they're able to do some of the side characters instead of like, oh, here's more of Jessica's past.
Right. And it's even more sweet, Christian, when we've spent plenty of time with Trish already.
Yeah.
So when we get that backstory episode, we have such a shorthand for her and her life, and so much of it has been used for a punchline that it's great that this kind of flips the script on you a little bit, and we really kind of have sympathies for characters that we really kind of wrote off before. We may have called for the death before and gotten our wish. So I really loved it. And I love also that a lot of the scenes in this episode are scenes that we're familiar with from different perspective. I always love that.
Yeah, I like when they do that. Sometimes it's tricky because sometimes you can do that and you just get annoyed because they're like, oh, okay, so they're using like 20% material that they've already shot. But they do it really well in this episode because it's from Trish's point of view and they're filling things in.
Let me ask you this.
Little things, well, there's one quick thought. Weird things like, oh, those annoying neighbors of Trish, I guess she's going to have to leave them alone. And then we actually see more of that. What were you going
to
say?
No, I was going to say that I didn't get to talk about 10 with you.
Yeah.
But at the end of 10, I was like, wait, what did I miss?
Right, exactly.
And I was like, wait, why was this? What did I just miss? Is this horrible editing? Like, what happened? Where is Jessica?
Yeah. And what is Trish doing? Yeah.
Yeah.
And why is Eric, a.k.a. Burger Boy, why is he, showing up there? Yeah, there's a lot of questions. And again, we're only talking about 11 through 12. But your prediction early in the season was that Eric/Burger Boy was not going to last long. And I also felt like Malcolm was not going to stick around mm-hmm. for a while. But I don't think any of us picked Dorothy as being on the way out.
No, that was great.
I think that's why it was so impactful, was because, they made sure you always disliked Dorothy. And then you would see little hints of like, oh, she's good at this. And, when we talked about episodes 9 and 10 yesterday, just the fact that, her phone rings and you realize just what she means to these kid actors that she helps get roles.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So she like is this positive force in a lot of people's life. The fact that they were like, is anybody going to show up for a funeral? Yeah, standing room only.
Yeah.
So they do a great job in making you care just enough about her where it's like, oh, no, he's not going to. Oh, my God, he did.
I want to ask you, Rebecca De Mornay,
yes,
Dorothy, looks like the Rebecca De Mornay of old and like Hand That Rocks
you
the
mean
Cradle.
In this episode. Yeah, they did
is
a great
this
job.
Digital or is this just makeup?
I think it's just makeup because the digital stuff, what I call the Grand Moff Tarkin effect from Rogue One,
right.
that's really expensive.
Right.
And I mean, I they barely show Jessica jump on this show, so I don't know if they have money to digitally alter her.
So that means that Rebecca De Mornay is still so beautiful
yes.
that they really just kind of age her up for the role, and like there's a range of like 25 years that she's playing very easily
Trisha's like 10 or maybe even younger, you know, I mean, in the flashback. And yeah, Rebecca De Mornay, it's definitely handled.
Her acting was really great in this episode. She had more to chew on playing like this older version of herself with more verve and spunk. I thought, wow, what a tour de force episode and a way to have her be a major player on an episode after her character has passed away.
Right. So that's kind of the great thing, too. This is a Trish-heavy episode, but we really get to see Dorothy. Give us your thoughts about when we see her taking Trish to the auditions. First, the table read, I mentioned it in the tease, you know, the always throw away the parentheticals.
Yeah.
Because all the other, by the way, it seems like pretty good advice, especially for a kid actor, because everybody's going to go, oh, they're going to swoon, you know?
I mean, I was having flashbacks. I started auditioning sort of professionally when I was in high school, and I would go to these Nickelodeon auditions.
Sure.
I never got a single thing, but I've been to those things with the kids, and you get it. It is just a cattle call, and she says, this is the first round of auditioning, and this is just your job here is to just get noticed. Like, there's a description here. Don't look exactly like the description.
Right.
The advice is good, and it's cutthroat, and like the things that she does, like by cutting the line, and I mean, these are, you could argue that she's not playing ball, but it's a tough business, and this is what she's like. This is what you have to do to succeed.
Yeah, it's more like she's playing on a different level than everybody else. So everybody else is. Everybody else is playing checkers, and she's playing like that 3D level chess that Mr. Spock plays on Star Trek.
Yes.
Like, she's completely playing a different game. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to give you the red hair, and we're going to cut in front of the line. And then, you know, you hear there's some great ADR, which is, you know, additional dialogue recording for background people. You hear them saying like, hey, she has red hair. And then it's a lot of like, hey, we were here first, you know, because they got cut in the line. And it's just like, yeah, but that's why Dorothy is so good at what she does. And for those of you watching on YouTube, J-Lo in the booth has been kind enough to show us a photo. Look at Rebecca De Mornay looking lovely there. And young Patsy with the red hair.
With the red hair.
So great because episode 2 of this season was the origin of Hellcat. And this is really the origin of Patsy. You know, how she became this sitcom character.
Yeah.
I think she was already It's Patsy, but she's this new sitcom character. And when Patsy or Trish tells her mom like that the lead, she's got chicken pox, and just without missing a beat, Dorothy's like, well, it was meant to be.
And she has her call. So this episode reminded me a lot of another Netflix show, House of Cards.
Oh, absolutely. Wow, she would have done really well with the Underwoods.
I mean, like, this is what you have to do.
Yeah.
You put it up in front of them. Oh yeah. I mean, because anytime you show up, you're in the game. You're sick, you miss a day, somebody else is chomping at the bit to get your job. So, it was great flashing back to see, like, Trish as a kid not wanting it, or maybe she wants it to, and then, like, I feel like Dorothy gives her a choice, and she's like, you either walk away or you don't, but if you want this, if you want to do this, you have to be all in. And that's sort of, that's what Trish can never get away from. And as we see her becoming Hellcat in this episode, it's that kind of commitment. It's that. It's the same idea of not playing by the rules that she learned from Dorothy that she's now displaying as the vigilante. Whereas while Jessica is so conflicted and so annoyed because the system fails and so she drinks and wallows, Trish is just so quickly, she has the tools, and she even says it to, I don't need to play by the rules. I'm looking to get the results. Your rules are stupid. Look at you. Look at how miserable you are because the system has let you down, Jessica. And so you drink and you wallow and you're bothered because you have this moral center. You want to do the right thing and you can't operate within the world as it exists. She's like, I'm just not going to operate within that world.
And we hear in the previous episode, and we see it again in this episode, Trish sort of reciting the mantra, I got this, because that's what her mom wants her to learn. And that, you made a great point. It's like you call and you tell them, hey, you know what? I'll read the lead part at this table read just to help out. Because if Dorothy does it, it seems as calculated as it actually is.
Right.
But it's like, oh, isn't she a sweet little kid? Yeah, let's do it. You know, it'd be good. We'll see if it helps with the jokes. And, you know, that you know, I actually thought we were going to see the kid who had chicken pox at some point, you know, like approach her and, you know, talk about how you destroyed my life. I was going down that dark path.
That would have been cool, but the fact is nobody heard from her again.
Never again, yeah. And, you know, the great – look, this can happen all the time in life. The best example, of course, from baseball is there was a great New York Yankee named Wally Pipp. Why haven't you heard of Wally Pipp? Because one day he had a headache. And they benched him. So he said, like, you know what? Take me out of the lineup. I'm not going to play today. And who came in and played for him? Lou Gehrig. Wally Pipp never started again.
Whoa. Yeah. I never heard of Wally Pipp.
That's why you never heard of Wally Pipp, because he had a headache. So play hurt. Play with a headache. And, you know, if you got chicken pox, I don't know, put on some makeup and pretend you don't. I don't quite know how to do it. But anyway. So, it was so insightful to see how just this brings us the Trish in season one. You know what I mean? We know this Trish in season three really well because we've seen her develop. But this really helps fill in the gaps between, not even between, from before we met her. I would love to have the time to go back and watch season one again because yeah. I would just like to see Trish in those scenes and just be like, oh, yeah, I have so much more of an understanding of her there.
I think early on in this episode, once we started to go back and see once it becomes clear, we're finding out, like, what made Trish Trish.
Yeah.
This is when I started to question, did she kill the cop?
Right.
This is what I up to this point, I'm, you know, maybe I'm just real dumb. I just wasn't going there. I did not think Trish would have killed this guy, and I didn't see how we could have gotten there. So that was, I just wrote down in my notes, at this point, pretty early on in the episode is where I started entertaining that. And then we see Trish visit Salinger in the hospital.
Yes, which I thought was a great scene. So the first thing we do, that we go back to the moment, remember the, what was it? That was episode 8, I think, ended, where Jessica's about to stop Trish from killing Salinger. And then when we pick it up in episode 9, it's a little bit after that. Mm-hmm. So we actually get to see that moment
yes.
in this episode. And then we also see her go to the hospital and talk to him. And, I mean, the conversation they have is, you know, I mean, it's just, first of all, it's well written, it's well acted. Everything about it is great because, you know, it's like, yeah, I know. And he has so much leverage on her at this point because he has she doesn't know he has the picture at this point.
Well, not the picture. He mentions the deal, though.
Right.
He mentions the deal that Jessica made, and Trish is right. like, well, you didn't make that deal with me.
Right.
And Trish mentions the pictures, and he's like, oh, well, did you like my latest work? I thought I right. captured something true in your mother. And he tells her basically, oh, I left it in the most obvious of places.
Right. And that was a scene that we saw in a previous episode when she goes to the apartment. We don't really know what she's looking for, but mm-hmm. we figure it's before the funeral. So they did a really good job.
Yes, that's right. We had the different perspective.
Right. And so this stuff, when it's in the earlier episodes, it's not like a gaping, like, hey, we never got an answer to that. Or like, hey, her neighbors aren't arguing anymore. You know, you don't really think about it. But then when you get it from this episode. So like you said, when it's these Netflix shows, especially when you're binging them close together, you know, it works really well when you kind of go back and fill in some of these things. We even get to see a little bit more of Eric after she punches him in the face.
Yes.
You know, that's when he's like, I need a game, any game, you know, because, look, Burger Boy still likes the action.
He
you know
needs
what I mean?
Some action.
Yeah. So
Trish enlists Eric to kind of come up with an arrangement, like, at this point, right?
Yeah.
Like, Trish is like, oh, I want to use your power, kind of like how Jessica was.
Right, and then
get your own Burger Boy.
Right, exactly. But, you know, there's only one Burger Boy. And she's not looking for the burgers. It's just for the mental abilities, or, as it were, the emotion that he can feel. And I think that many times throughout the season, you'll see Trish and you go, she's very well-intentioned. And in this arrangement with Eric, she is well-intentioned. It's misguided and probably not smart to begin with, because things can certainly go wrong.
Which we saw early on. This was teased at that very early on episode where Trish kind of saved Eric's bacon and almost killed the matriarch of that crime family.
Right, exactly.
So we've seen her, and so when things don't go quite right, it makes sense to us, right? Because
because
they've laid the groundwork for that.
There's some, you know, there's a few moments in this season, and one of them actually we won't be talking about in this episode, I don't think. No, actually, I think it, we'll talk about it when we talk about 12, where somebody says something to her, and it really connects with her. And it kind of echoes the little voice in the back of her head. So when she sees her doorman at Dorothy's building, he says, you know, he talks about how it happened on his watch. He feels guilty. And she's like, there wasn't anything you can do. And he says, there's always something we can do.
Right. Yes.
Satan wins when the forces of light stand idly by.
Yes.
And that was one of those ones where I rewound it to write it down. Cause I'm like, wait, this is great insight from the doorman.
It's her call to action
in
this sense.
And she's like, yeah, she's absolutely right. And so then that's the moment where she comes up with this arrangement with Eric, aka Burger Boy. And so they figure out how to get Nussbaumer, and they want to get him on tape confessing. This is a great idea.
Great idea.
And then I guess Trish forgets just how strong she is when she – and she also – this is the first time, and we see it again with Montero, as she's trying to basically beat a confession out of him. She sees Salinger's face.
Yes.
And so she can't control herself. So I think it's good to give it that reason, you know, that this is like she kind of loses herself in the moment. And that's why she's so brutal with Nussbaumer, who, look, piece of crap cop, you know, he's dirty. You
right.
know? He's not a good guy. But I would say that he didn't deserve the end that he got.
Massive head wound.
Yeah, massive head
wound. He becomes Massive Head Wound Harry.
Yes, he was.
as she digs in a little too deeply, yeah. And it's just that,
because like at first they're like, okay, well, what do we do? Well, we should call 911. Oh, my God, no, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, and this is when I'm like, Eric is effed up, man. Like, yeah. You know, it really made me, like, distrust Eric again. I'm like, oh.
So he knew that
Trish killed Nussbaumer. We've seen scenes with Jessica that happened after this incident between Eric and Jessica. So we know that Eric has, again, lied to Jessica.
Right. And then in this episode, we also see him call cops on Jessica. Like, the fact that when she's trailing Trish. And Eric calls 911 and is like, I spotted Jessica Jones. So that's how
later learn there's a reason for that.
Right.
But at the time, we didn't know what the reason is.
Right.
And I'm like, well, how are they going to let Jessica take the heat for this?
Right, exactly.
Well, now, Eric knew that the cops were looking for Jessica,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Because that was, we go back to the scene that we saw earlier where he does talk to Jessica. And he hears that they think it because Jessica talks to him because she thinks he did it.
Right.
And that's not our Burger Boy. He doesn't have it in him. I don't think he's going to go out and kill a cop. You know. Now, granted, they did a great job in making us all think like, well, could he have? Because he had the motivation because Nussbaumer saw him.
Right.
And once he saw him, you know, and we even see
it. You shouldn't let me see your face.
Right. He says, you shouldn't let me see your face. And then in this episode, we have the flashback when they're trying to get him recording the confession. He already knows everything about Eric. He has figured out who he is and he knows all the stuff about him. So it might have been inevitable that Nussbaumer was going to come calling, you know? So they did a great job in making it seem like
it was a great misdirect.
Yeah.
At a certain point, too, in one of the flashbacks, Dorothy has the philosophy that we see becomes a big part of Trish's framework that she has a gift, and if you have a gift, it's your responsibility to give it back.
Yeah.
So she's saying it's her destiny almost. That this is what she has to do. As a child, she's talking about her ability to perform.
Right. Well, very specifically, I could have used this at the top, too, because we want more wisdom from Dorothy Walker. She tells her 10 or younger year old daughter, act like a goddamn adult, lead by example. Help the other actors know that you're prepared, and if they're not prepared, that, you know, that you notice it, you know? So you have to lead by example.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't do it, you're being selfish.
This is also really true, good advice. Like
yeah.
the kind of things that I've heard from like actors on, you know, interviews, like you got to be the most prepared person on the set. Oh, God, I was just listening to an interview with, I think, Russell Crowe on Howard Stern.
Yeah, I heard that. That was great. Yeah.
So same kind of philosophy
here. He's like, I'm going to be there, you know, for 14 hours. I know like 5 pages of dialogue. Why don't you know you're half a page?
Yes.
You know? And yeah, it's absolutely right. And this resounds with Trish today when she says to her, you don't owe me. You owe the world.
Mm-hmm.
It gave you a gift. Now, she has a much more literal gift at this point. It wasn't really given to her by the world. She kind of insisted that she get turned into a superhero, but that's besides the point.
Right.
So I think that we really see that, you know, this really impacts Trish today. And her whole life was hearing all these things in her head. Maybe that's why she crushed the Home Shopping Network business as her side, because she brings pride to everything she does. And the so I guess where we can wind this down and move on to the next episode, I suppose, I have one more thing about Dorothy, is the way that she talks to the creator of the TV show about changing the title of the show. It's like, yeah, I overheard some network guys, you know, right. I think that they don't like the title.
And that's
like,
this House of Cards kind of stuff, right? Here,
and
right?
It's just great. And, you know, I mean, this is really the last of Dorothy that we get. So I wanted to make sure to give her credit there.
One other thing I just wanted to mention was just that, Hogarth, okay, goes to Trish.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So this sets up like, oh, is Trish eventually going to kill Hogarth? And also, at a certain point, I believe we see Trish set off Eric's power.
Yes.
Indicating that she's crossed over.
Right. And then, so first, early in the episode, he has this euphoria when Nussbaumer dies. He starts laughing because he feels the pain that he always feels is actually lifted for a moment, and then he starts to feel it when he's around Trish.
Yes,
because like so the darkness is really starting to ooze out of her, and the interaction with Hogarth I think is great because Trish says to her, "I do go after bad people."
Right,
remember that.
And I want to ask you one thing before we move on. So, what do you think about the fact that now it's becoming clear that Hellcat, who has been an Avenger in the comics, and I've never read a Hellcat comic, but
I remember, she was an Avenger for a long time.
Yeah, she shows up all over the place. How do you feel about them taking this sort of, you know, C, D-list character, flipping it, kind of making her a villain? Like, do you think that's a good call, or do you feel like that's straying too far away from the source material?
I think it's all right because of the fact that, you know, it shows how easily this could happen to anyone, you know, how well-intentioned somebody can be. And look, Marvel in the movies and TV have done a great job with marginal characters, you know. Whoever thought they'd be excited to go see an Ant-Man movie? Not me, you know? And I think that, you know, Hellcat was another one of these properties.
You're never going to get the Hellcat movie.
No, the Hellcat movie wasn't happening. You weren't going to get an Avengers with her, you know. I mean, unless in some crazy world, you know, like Angelina Jolie's like, I only want to play Hellcat.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's like, I guess we're doing Hellcat, you know. So the episode ends with Trish again saying that she's got this because, you know, she really feels like this is her job, this is her duty, this is what she has to do. She has a little bit of this pressure weighing on her because Hogarth is going to need her to do something. But what I do love is that the episode ends with the sitcom theme song. It's hard to catch stuff like that when you're binging these shows because you're like, new episode. And I had almost pushed it. I'm like, wait a minute, what are we listening to here? So I really thought that that was a nice touch. So I thought that this was great, this episode. And let us know if you're watching live in the chat or if you're watching the archive version, what you thought of.
What you think.
Yeah. We move on to episode 12, Lot of Worms. So we see the aftermath of what Trish did. They let Jessica go, you know, because they're like, yeah, well, the person who, you know, who killed Nussbaumer did it again and mentions Montero. And of course, Jess knows that name from Eric's file. And, you know, she knows to play it off.
So, we figure out that the reason that they let Jess take the heat is that her whereabouts would be well known when they committed another crime by the same murderer by leaving Nussbaumer's badge there, proving that it wasn't Jessica.
Right, although their intention was to beat Montero, have him say it was the Miss Vigilante.
But did we have another oopsie?
There was another oopsie.
Did we maybe do another bitty oopsie?
It's Patsy. Oh, Patsy.
Oh, Patsy.
Yeah, you know, what are you going to do? Sometimes when you're trying to beat some sense into someone, you kill them. Oh, Patsy. So, this does create a great a great alibi.
Wait, what was the episode where Trish got Hogarth against the wall with that slick
that,
little...
That was the last one. That was okay. 11. That was a great
move. I wanted
move.
To give a shout out to yeah. that leg move. I rewinded that a couple of times to see if it was her and Carrie Ann Moss, and like if it was a trick, it looked real.
Yeah, and look at this. J-Lo so quick to the draw on the graphics. Yeah, for those watching on YouTube, we have that image. And I mean, look, you know, if there was some stunt work in like a close-up, this is definitely them. And they did
she must do yoga. Not easy to control that move.
No, definitely not. And it was a great moment. And I mean, that interaction between the two of them was you know,
yes.
just that's why this season is so great and why this show is so great, because you're getting this kind of rich interaction from characters who are side characters. Like in season one, you know, you don't really think that much about Hogarth. You know, she gets wrapped up into all the Kilgrave stuff, and mm-hmm. Trish is her best friend, you know. But the fact that we've gotten 39 episodes of this, I mean, look, I would have loved for there, and we'll talk about it when we talk about episode 30. I would love there have been more, but we got so much of this. And, you know, 39 hours or, you know, not every episode's an hour, but let's say we got 38 hours.
Sure.
That's amazing. That we got that much of this Jessica Jones story, and we really get to care about these characters. And we have new characters this season, like Jillian, who puts Eric in the bathtub when he shows up a little too hammered. But he does tell Jessica that Trish has crossed the line. Jessica already knows.
Already knows, which I love when yeah. we do this. This is another big trope in a noir detective kind of story, right? Where the audience is following along, we get twisted, and then we find out that our hero's been double-crossed, but then we found out, no, our hero has been watching the Watchers, and then right. she knows. And that's what you want to see, because when it's a detective story, we're impressed by how good our detective is. Like, Jessica Jones, her superpower, yes, it's throwing people around, but we want to see her be a good detective. And,
right.
and so I love that it's not a big deal. There's no shocking reveal. She's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's like, I saw the bruising on her wrist, and I'm like, oh, she totally killed that guy. You know, it's like, that's all I needed.
Well, that was smart, because we saw her looking for that bruising on yeah. other hands. We yeah. saw her looked on Jessica's hands when the cops showed up yeah. and checked out Jessica. Jessica looked at Burger Boy's hand. So that makes sense. Like, this show is really smart, where it doesn't just give us stuff out of nowhere. It's careful to plant the seeds so it all makes sense in its world.
Yeah, because a lot of times, any kind of superpowered person, their day job is just incidental. But this is really such a part of who Jessica is, and I think that's why the character works so well.
Yeah, it would know? Be like her, it would be like a show about more about her taking pictures for the Daily Bugle.
Right, exactly. If you could make that into a compelling show, I would be on board. So,
well, there was that. What was that series that was Marvel's? Was it the one that takes place from the Daily Bugle photographer?
Yeah. Right,
and like it's kind of like on the. On the perspective of all the destruction from the acts of the superheroes.
Right, yeah, exactly. Somebody's got to take those pictures. Peter Parker's right. not the only person who works at the Daily Bugle.
Nah, he's a part-timer.
Believe it or not. He just gets the best pictures of Spider-Man, conveniently enough.
Always.
So he talks about this, what I referenced a little earlier, that when she killed Nussbaumer, when Trish killed Nussbaumer, his headaches lifted. Like, all the crap in the world had lifted, is what he says. But he does tell her that he's got, like, a 5-ish headache for Trish. And that's a little high for somebody that wants to be a superhero. You know, I feel like for Jessica, it's probably not a zero. You know, although he says that she's aspirin.
She's so good.
Worst come online ever.
She's but, the aspirin.
Yeah, that's
yes.
true. So Jessica, it is a zero, surprisingly.
What happens
Malcolm's about a two, I guess, yeah. you know?
What happens between Eric and Fool Killer? Because I have Eric and Fool Killer, and then I have Ha! I don't remember what happened there.
Wow. I'll have to see, because... I see Eric with Malcolm, and he interacts. He finds out about Malcolm and his sister, and how Malcolm says he's doing,
awkward,
doing
right,
her solid. And then he talks about how he's staying with Jessica. Oh, doing her solid. So there's some nice bro moments there mm-hmm. for Malcolm and Eric. Hopefully they can go out and get beers and just laugh about all this. You know, I'm trying to remember. I think that's later in the episode.
Okay.
In fact, I know what you're talking about now. So,
so we have Jess showing up at the hospital where Hellcat is visiting Salinger.
Yes.
Is this when we get our first little Jess versus Hellcat?
Yes. This is when Jessica tosses Trish across
yes.
to the other roof.
Yes.
So. Salinger has decided that he's not safe at the hospital, so he's going to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's there's a few times, and we'll talk about it in our next episode when we talk about episode 13. There's a few times where we see, for all of Hellcat's trickery and fancy moves, she's actually not a match for the brute strength and force of Jessica. Jessica's not the Hulk.
She tosses her.
But compared to even a powered person, she might as well be the Hulk, because she just flips her across to another building.
This is a thing that is often a pet peeve of mine, when like they will make the opponent equal in a power set for the convenience of storytelling.
Right.
And every time that they're face to face that they fight, Jessica, very unskilled, just tosses her, throws her up, throws her down, throws her. That's her big move, and I love it. And like you see, she's no match for her. She doesn't have,
It's like the Hulk and Loki. You know what I mean? It's like with Jessica, she's like, I really don't want to do this, but okay. And she's still pulling her punch. That's the thing. Because does she want to kill Trish? That would be easy, you know? So she still has to pull her punch a little bit. The uneasy alliance between Jessica and Salinger is just more great acting, great storytelling. I think we've said that actor's name is Jeremy Bob with two B's. It's definitely Bob with two B's. I know that that's his last name.
And this really brought me back to that season one where we had those couple of episodes where Jessica, or at least that one episode where Kilgrave and Jessica were kind of
like work together.
Yes.
Yeah. And so he has Jessica as his protection now, which is something he was actually counting on. And He's just such a dick.
Have you on my side,
he's like, I'll walk slowly so you can catch up, you know? And
when did Salinger become such a wuss?
Yeah, right, exactly. But he's like, he's a little bit of a tough guy now that he's got Jessica Jones as his protection. Hogarth talks to Jess in this episode too about she's worried. And Jess tells her that you don't fit her profile. So she tries to convince Hogarth that she's not going to be in the crosshairs of Trish, but
and then we also find Malcolm now living with Bree or hanging out with Bree.
Yeah,
Bree shows up, Burger Boy's sister, now less prostitute looking, trying to clean herself up.
Yeah,
and she wants to stay at Malcolm's place. Malcolm, who has just kind of gone on a break with Zaya.
Definitely on a break with Zaya.
And then he's all dressed up, does a really nice tie, is about to leave for work, and then totally ruins his tie.
Yeah, I know. See, that's the thing, is when you're Malcolm, your tie is going to look good every time.
That's true.
You know, he's going to always look good. So he's like, it's fine.
You could do it with one hand, I bet.
That's true. If only we could all be Malcolm. There's this great interaction with Jess and Salinger.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that she says that obviously becomes very important is, if only you had me strapped to a chair with a lens in my face so you could capture my truth. And by the end of the episode, you know what her plan is, and she's definitely baiting him.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like enticing him
She also finds his hidden camera.
Yes, and that's where we get the title of the episode, which can be an unfiltered moment because it just made me laugh. That's a lot of worms. She just busts open the I don't know what that's not a terrarium. What do worms live in? Whatever that is, that enclosure, and finds the camera. And she has another great line. Would you trust the cloud with evidence of your sick shit?
Yeah, yeah.
So she knows there's a server somewhere. It's not going on the cloud.
Right. Well, he tries to say like, oh, you could destroy that camera. It doesn't matter. It's all uploaded. And she's like, you wouldn't trust the stuff that you do on the cloud.
Yeah, just imagine. So
great cat and mouse moment. Great. And again, this Salinger always wants to be challenged like intellectually. He thinks he's above everyone. And Jessica's like, she's a step ahead.
And so it's interesting that in the last episode, Eric and Trish's plan was basically to get Jessica in jail so that she has an alibi, because essentially Jessica hatches a similar plan for Trish.
Right.
So Malcolm tases Trish, and Eric has the great line of not loving how easy this is for you to just sneak up behind Trish and tase her and knock her out, you know, because that's who Malcolm is now. And, you know, he's got a lot to make up for.
And I thought at this point, Trish is probably missing her QVC shift.
Yeah, she has definitely missed it. I think her co-host has probably taken over a lot.
But then later we find out that actually she's on a little bit of a personal leave anyway because of Dorothy. So.
Yeah, so I think that, look, the home shopping industry is very understanding at the loss of a loved one.
Yeah, you just got to have someone in there to make those calls. to action.
As long as somebody else is there. And we get some good interaction with Malcolm and Trish. He talks about how he has a lot to make up for. And Trish says that she's not the only he's not the only one with a lot to make up for. And she's trying to explain what she's doing. Mm-hmm. It's about balancing the scales. And I thought that
Thanos.
Malcolm,
she's trying to Thanos
right,
it.
Right. If only Trish could have just done that. I wanted to get your reaction to something that Malcolm asks Trish. He asks her if she ever misses the person she used to be. How do you feel when you hear Malcolm ask Trish that? And what do you imagine goes through her mind at that point?
Well, you know, it's interesting because Malcolm obviously is wondering if he misses the person he used to be, right? Because on one hand, he was like this, like strung out, drugged out dude who had nothing going on. And then he was like this guy making all this money and absolutely hating who he'd become.
Right.
And so he's asking her a similar kind of question because she's gone too far. So I thought it was interesting because it applied very much to Malcolm and Trish's. What was Trish's response? Like,
I don't think she actually has one. I think she thinks about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we just kind of like hang on her a little bit.
Yeah,
but then this is before we find out a little bit more about Trish's past with her father, which we never really...
Right, and she confesses that to Malcolm,
yes.
I believe, that... and this is, you know, for all the stuff that we had known about Trish and we'd known about Dorothy from this season, she mentions the fact that her dad used to beat Dorothy.
Not her, but Dorothy.
Yeah. And one time she just had enough. So her mom was bleeding. So she put some blood on her clothes and on her face, went and told the neighbor that her dad did it. Her dad gets taken away and arrested. And she has a great line that her mom never said anything, and she thinks it's the moment when her mom realized that she could act.
You know? Right.
And the wheels already started turning for super agent Dorothy Walker. But give me your reaction to this is, you know, you want to talk about how Salinger always wants to hear your truth. I mean, this is some really hardcore truth that Trish has been carrying around for, I don't know how old she is, but 20, 25 years.
Yeah, well, again, it's this idea that, like, good and evil is not as simple. It's gray. And there are things that happen in people's lives that lead to the decisions they make and how much of the world they can trust and what happened, you know? And Dorothy, for whatever she was in this very violent relationship, and Trish grew up with that, and so you could understand how she could want to please her mother, and the fact that she called the cops on her dad and took the blood, they were thick as thieves. That relationship was, you know, that horrible relationship with Trish's father, who she never sees after he gets put away or whatever, that kind of sealed the deal on the closeness between Trish and Dorothy. And while there was a lot of tension, they were very close. They were inseparable without each other. And then I think this is when we kind of get back to Jess and we see her get drugged.
Well, yeah, because obviously Jess is going to go home and have a drink.
Always.
And Salinger happens to be there and says that it must be maddening to be this predictable, which is just a great line because Salinger walks through the world superior to every other living thing. Every other person is one of those worms to him, you know, so he's just so much better than Jessica. And he talks about – he mentions my good photo gear is in police lockup. He's actually like apologizing.
Right.
He's like, I'm sorry I'm using the substandard
stuff. He still had a pretty good setup though.
Yeah. Right. I mean this is his B setup. So
Jessica can't break out of the chair because he's added a paralytic.
He's caused partial paralysis.
Right.
We're going to just assume neck down. You know, that was his intention.
And so even though she's, you know, duct taped to the chair, they're giving you the reason why our superpowered lead character can't break out of the freaking chair.
Yeah.
So frustrating.
Very frustrating. So I was afraid he had super glued her. And then I was going to be like, all right, well, she's Jessica Jones, so that's not going to last. And this is really – so we've been building to a couple of things this season. But this is what we were building to basically from the instant we met Salinger is this interaction – of Jessica in the chair and how he told her she's a fraud and a cheater. And she says, you want me to admit I'm a cheater, I'm a fraud, I'm both and more. She also says that she didn't want to be a hero and she never wanted it. And Salinger disagrees. He thinks she wanted it desperately. So there's a lot to unpack right there, Adam. So she's a cheater, a fraud, Didn't want to be a hero. As she says these things, what are you thinking about Jessica?
Well, I think there's a lot of truth here.
Yeah.
Salinger's ineffective as a character if he's not really tied to some truth, right? And I think that is he's got Jessica's number at this point, right? Like, she doesn't want to admit the fact that she wants to be good. This has been the theme of this whole episode, of this whole season.
Yeah.
Has been this arc. That the word hero is said more times in this season than on any other Netflix series of Marvel, right? Like, it's all about what's a hero. I'm not a hero. I'm super powered. But, like, a hero is someone that does the right thing because it's the right thing, that does good even though they get crapped on. Spider-Man being the ultimate example of that, right? Like, things never work out right for Spider-Man, but he's always compelled to do good things. He's, like, an ultimate hero like that. Jessica, he's saying, is like, yeah, you like to think to yourself that you really don't want to be a hero, but it's all you want, and you see yourself as such a failure at it, and that is your whole thing. That's why she's a fool, essentially. That's why she is worthy of his, you know, his kill.
Right, exactly. And he says a couple of very telling things, that her rebel rock garb is her mask and cape,
which is true. She always wears the exact same outfit.
That's her super outfit. In fact, we see her right there, you know. That's what she's always wearing. And the fact that he even belittles the fact that she's a private investigator, you know. And he says ultimately that Jessica believes that her family died so she could get these gifts, and he's telling her that they died for nothing because you're not a hero. That's a really heavy accusation, but I think that that's really what season two is largely about. I mean, she reconnects with her mother, but it's just this idea that, you know, I'm no hero. I just miss my family. And I think, you know, obviously he's onto something, you know, with this. I think he does a good job of figuring Jessica out. But do you think that in that moment she actually believes what he says, that her family died for nothing because she's not a hero? I mean, we see her get fairly emotional to just him invoking the memory of her family.
You know, I don't think so because of what happens next. You know, like, yeah, I think she knows what's going on, right? And like, once again, whether we know it or not, we're about to be put wise to the fact that our detective hero is playing her game.
Right.
So it's almost like she's playing possum in the psychological way, right? She's taking the hits. So it's like, yeah, come at me. Come at me. Oh, you're getting to me. She plays it off because she needs him to be – she needs Salinger to believe that he's winning.
Right. And I think that – in the moment, as you get later in the episode, you understand what she's doing. But in the moment, I thought that she was just buying time. Right. And then also, like, oh, you know, if Trish weren't chained up, Trish could get Jessica out of that chair.
Yes, yeah.
You know, so she chained up the one person who could have saved her.
Right,
here.
And I did have that great moment of, like, how is our hero going to get out of this?
But she's playing his game so well, and she turns the tables. And she says, are you hoping that I'll cry and I'll beg for my life like Dorothy did? And she points out that that's not truth, you know. And she asks him if he ever tried a self-portrait. And he said, there's no need. I live in truth. And then she says probably the nicest thing she's ever said about Dorothy Walker, that she was nothing but truth.
Yeah.
And Salinger is the real fraud because he acts like he's doing this for the art so that he can capture this image in the pictures. But really, he just tortures and kills people because he likes it. And, you know, you can see the way he reacts. You know, we have this story from earlier in the season how anytime you approach anything even remotely sexual, he freaks out with that. There was that chef who kissed him and he freaked out and left. And so she talks about his stiff little knife. You're probably hard right now.
Yes.
And that's when, you know, that's when he really starts to lose it.
And it's also the chance for Jessica to say something really nice about Dorothy's memories. Like, say what you will about her. She was true to who she was.
Yeah.
Like, you might think she's a despicable person. Maybe she was. She did what she had to do, but she was who she was. Yeah. And she uses that to turn it onto Salinger, who, like, you're right, his whole thing is, like, believing that he's got a purpose for what he does. And if you challenge that, That is where you get to him. And she's doing this, we find out, to try to coax a little bit of a confession.
Right. And he talks and he doesn't even think for a second. He's supposed to be so smart. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even think that there's any chance other than he's going to get a great picture. So he mentions the fact that he killed Dorothy and he talks about why he did it. And then Jessica's like, by the way, I was lying. And you see that she's like, oh, yeah, I was just pretending, you know, which that's classic Jessica, like when she pretended she was under Kilgrave's control and got close enough to kill, you know. So she's just like, oh, yeah, by the way, no, I'm actually stronger than you think. And then I love this might be your note that you had when I almost called him Kilgrave. When Salinger says to Eric, oh, you think you're a hero now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Eric thinks anything other than the fact that he just gets to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
That was definitely a great moment.
And he's like, yeah, a little bit.
And so we start to see the moving pieces of Jessica's plan. So they've got the server. And we are reminded that when she took Trish to the motel, she was cleaning out from underneath her fingernails. And there was obviously DNA evidence from Salinger's face because Hellcat, well, she's got a mean scratch.
Right.
So she tells Costa, like, yeah, you might want to look. There might be some more evidence over at the Dorothy Walker crime scene. So she has this DNA, which is something I actually expected to come back.
Right.
The fact that Jessica planted evidence.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So the DNA. There, I didn't even get this.
Yeah, that's what.
So this made sense because it was Dorothy, and Dorothy is Trish's mother, so their DNA would be similar.
Right. Like, so, but underneath Trish's fingernails,
right,
was Salinger's face. So right. She pulls that out, and we see that she put it in a little bag.
Right.
And she tells Costa that there's some more evidence. So
right.
she's covering her bases this time,
which she had alluded to that she had more evidence.
Right.
And Salinger was like, "Yeah, we'll talk about that later because I think you're full of it."
Right. And I think in the moment you think like, "Oh, she was talking about the future." Evidence she was going to get when she has the camera, you know, get the confession.
I thought she was faking. Yeah. I think they did. That was another great misdirect.
Right. So again, great storytelling on the show. The fact that all these things are happening. So Salinger's in jail for good, and she tries to really talk Trish through it. That it's over. It's not satisfying. Doesn't take away the pain.
Right.
But it's done. And Trish is so angry. And Jessica says it's the burden we have to carry. And Trish says she doesn't think she can live with it, you know? And it was, what, an episode ago.
Right.
She said she can carry this burden.
She said she can carry. Or it was in this episode.
It was earlier this episode.
She's like, I can carry the burden. She's like, her accusation against Jessica is that you can't really be the hero because you can't do what it takes, ultimately.
Yeah.
You can't live with the fact that you have to kill, that you have to take the bad people off. It's that classic hero argument, right, about going over the line, about taking a life. And then we see Trish go back to work.
But she's so numb from her experience, and she's trying to go to work. And then this is what we were talking about earlier, where her co-host actually says to her that, I wish the death penalty was legal in this
case. Okay, yeah.
He should have died in a shootout. So this is just like the doorman, where it's like,
Right.
Yeah, you know what?
She's
he should have.
The Hellcat symbol's going up, and so after she goes to work, she goes back to work.
Yeah, right, exactly.
As Hellcat.
And so there's just this wonderfully filmed sequence of Salinger in chains being led by the police through this. You know, they talk about the corridor. The cop who's up with Hogarth talks about this is how they used to lead mobsters to the courthouse. And he hears the pipes and he knows. He hears like the thumping up above him and he knows what it is. And the cop's like, it's all right. And this is how Trish finds him.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a really good fight, I thought, because there's a moment where Salinger gets the chain around Trish, and I was like, "Oh, is he going to kill Trish?"
Right?
Because he wouldn't have gotten away if he'd done it. But I was just like, "Okay, I didn't see that coming," you know. But that's not what happened.
No.
What we kind of expected to happen for the last few episodes is ultimately what happened. I was never really convinced that Trish wasn't going to kill him. You know, I mean, he would have had to kill himself or something for her to not do that. So we just see just how brutal, you know, because Jessica looks and we see his face. I mean, Adam, react to what Trish did and why you feel like she had to do it.
It seems like, well, we were set up where if she was causing a five with Eric, She makes the decision. Ultimately, she says, I don't know if I could live with that. She tries to. She goes back to the shopping channel. She gets set off again, you know, when her coworker tells her that I wish that guy was dead. And she does it. And then she makes her choice. And she kills that third kill.
Yeah.
And she, and it's the three strikes and you're gone rule. And she's over now. And she is become the villain. And now we have these two sisters. This is where our whole season has led up to. From early on when it was like, oh, this is like the D-list Defenders, where we have Hellcat and Jessica Jones, and like we see what that world could be with Malcolm and Eric. And it's like, no, that is not where it's going.
It's not where it's going. And the last thing that Salinger gets to say before he's really brutally murdered, and you know, terrible guy. Can't really say I feel bad for him, but I do feel bad for Trish. And they're talking about the pictures of her mother. And he asks, what did you need to see? And he said, your truth. And now I see yours. And so will Jessica. And because he knows what's coming. And this is just how smart he is and just how good of a character study he is of people. He really understands Trish. And that's exactly what it is. Jessica looks in that elevator and that's Patsy's truth.
Yes.
And that brings us to the end of episode 12.
The end.
And when I was watching this last night, I jumped right over to episode 13. And you know what? You are going to be able to jump right over to episode 13 with Adam and I.
Jump with us.
You'll have a couple minutes. You want
Jessica
to get
Jones jump with us.
Yeah, and that's quite a jump. In mere moments, here on AfterBuzz TV, you will find us talking about episode 13. So please join us then. But you know what you can do in the break? You can follow us on social media. Adam, where do people find you?
You can find me at Adam Gertler.
And you can find me at Christian DMZ. That's where you can find me. So we'll see you in just a few minutes to talk about season 3 finale, the Marvel Netflix finale, Jessica Jones, episode 13, in a few minutes. See you then, everyone.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.